It's episode 202 of the Cruise Dudes podcast.
G-double-O-D, good day, cruisers. This is Cruise Director Duval Gamble here. When I'm listening to a podcast, most likely it's the Cruise Dudes. Enjoy.
Welcome to the Cruise Dudes podcast with your hosts, Tommy Allison and Scott Andrews. We celebrate the cruise vacation lifestyle. Got your passport and cruise card ready? Welcome aboard to our show.
Well, hello, hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 202. Hello there, Scott.
Hello, Tommy.
Hello, I'm here.
Are you here? Are we having a good functioning board now?
We're having a good functioning board. I know what buttons to push now.
Yeah,
I remember now.
This one we're not a single take. This was actually a double take.
A double take, but that's all right. It was only about 1 minute and 12 seconds.
Yeah, that's okay.
But that's
it was
all right.
Just the introduction.
Yeah, we did something funky.
Yes,
chicken, whatever it was. Anyway,
good to be here. Yeah, we are back from our summer cruises. Both of us went to Alaska.
Yeah,
we went to Mexico, but still, Alaska.
We did it.
Yeah, two different ships, two different times, same class of ship, but it was different offerings on each ship, and we're going to be talking about that.
And we're going to be talking about the offerings that we're going to be talking about is we're going to talk about the fine dining,
right,
and wine on the Princess Cruises, Discovery Princess, and the Royal Princess.
So why don't we go? Is this like completely different?
No, we can get over there.
Okay, here we go.
Here we go, everyone. All righty.
Well,
I decided not to do a little intro bumper music.
That's okay.
I wanted to try something a little bit different now.
Oh, yeah. I like the whole introduction with Duval. Duval's really cool.
He's still
on the Discovery. He's been Discovery there at
Princess?
Least
yeah.
about a year and a half, 2 years now.
Well, it can't be 2 years because it hasn't even...
Well, the first year it came out, I was on it.
You were on it last...
Was that last year?
June, I believe.
Okay,
That was the inaugural year.
Yes.
And so it's been a year and about 3 months. I would say, we're at September. So year and 3 months. Yeah, so 15 months. But he's doing a great job over there. And he says hello to you and Pam.
Oh, of course. Good guy.
Absolutely. And we just had a really great time with him and his team, and our friends from England. You met,
Michelle
and Tom.
This was their first cruise.
This was their first cruise to Alaska. So we're going to be sharing with. They're going to be coming on to the show, and we're going to be having interviews, and so more things are happening with that. We're going to make a combined show. Well, what do you think about that?
It's combined show's good, but remember, I'm going on other cruises starting next week.
Well, that's
so we're
going to
be talking about the other things too, guys.
But we got. You know what?
We could throw some special interviews out.
We're
like
going to do everything.
Before. Yeah.
We're going to do everything because they were first time cruisers to Alaska and from the UK, and we have to get that angle.
Well, that's great. That's great. But remember, Alaska is now over. So we got to.
No, it isn't over.
We can't prolong this.
Yes, we can.
Not till Christmas.
We love Alaska.
That's great. But I'm going to Mexico. I'm going to Australia. Oops. Australia.
Yeah,
I'm
right.
I'm going to Australia.
When?
I'm going to Galveston. I'm going on the Panorama. I'm going to. Well, Europe's coming up too. What?
Yeah.
No, I'm going to. Tom's like, wait a minute. You're doing what? Oh, yeah. Remember, I told you I'm like on 8 or 9 more cruises between now and June.
8 or 9 cruises. Well, let's make sure about that.
Yeah, I'm just missing a month. October, I'm taking off.
Sure.
I'm taking off October.
Okay.
That's only one I'm taking off.
All right.
Yeah.
Well,
But hey,
anyway, why don't we have to do shows? You're going to be gone. I got to do all the shows.
Well, no, I'll be here. I'll be here.
Okay.
But
no, I'm just
kidding. I want to get to a very special thing.
We're going to have to talk about cruise happenings now, right?
Well, I want to talk about Jimmy Buffett.
Oh.
Jimmy Buffett passed away on my birthday month. Actually passed away
on my birthday month, too.
Yeah, yours, too. September 1st. And there's a little story on I almost wasn't married.
Okay, let's hear it.
This is what it is. So okay. I met your sister and she's like, hey, I'm going to this concert. I'm like, yeah, whatever. Let's go to a concert. And she goes, yeah, we're going to tailgate. I'm like, what? Tailgate? Okay. Remember, I live on Catalina. So, I mean, I've been living
your
there.
Your tailgating is like...
My tailgating is on an island.
On an island. Okay. Yeah.
So I'm like, all right. I was late to tailgate, and your sister is a very big Buffett fan. And what I understand is that marriage almost did not happen.
Oh my gosh.
Yes.
She's going, where is Scott? She's looking at her arm
Yes. But I made up for it because we got there.
That's just before cell phones.
Yes. Yes. But I made up for it. We got there, and I was a drunken fool, and everything was good.
Wonderful.
I jumped into, okay.
Became a parrot head.
I became a parrot head
pretty quickly, huh? Fins up.
But Margarita. Oh, of course.
You went to Margaritaville.
Margaritaville. Actually, every port we go to now, I go to Margaritaville. From Jamaica, if I could find one from Jamaica all the way to Mexico, they didn't have any in Alaska.
I mean,
that would be kind of cool if they did. But I understand it's cold up there.
It is.
He would never have gone up there. It's too cold. But I've been everywhere. My favorite Margaritaville, I would have to say, is in Cozumel. And that is the one. You were there when... Were you there with us? I think you were. The one that you jump off the pier?
Yes.
And when we had your brother passed away...
Yes.
I snuck some of them with me.
I know. I remember my sister and I.
Did you go swimming out there with us?
Yes, I did.
Oh,
and
I think
you had the GoPro.
Yep.
You had the GoPro. And
let's show that.
And we took it. We took his ashes and we spread them around.
On the jumper.
On the inflatables out there. So my brother is.
On the jumper because I jumped and it went poof.
Yeah, he's all over Margaritaville. Cozumel.
But that one, honestly,
so if you get some things underneath your toenails,
it's
kind of crunchy, it's probably my brother.
But that one is the best. You could actually jump off the pier into the water. And I loved that one. That one is good. The Jamaica one is good. They have one up if you're in California before you jump on a cruise. They have one in Universal City Walk. So there's things that you could do. He had such an influence on cruising. It's kind of like how the captain did for the Love Boat. But his captain was more formal and cruising. Jimmy was more let your dreams set you free sailing.
Okay.
And I really loved it that he teamed up and basically bought the ship down in Florida with the 2-day. I still haven't been on that one, but I want to.
Yes, yes, the Margaritaville at Sea.
In Palm Springs, they have a Margaritaville there.
Resort.
And
it's kind of like a 55 plus living facility. Well,
that's the other one. The other one. Oh, this one is actually
the Margaritaville Hotel.
Yeah, this is a Margaritaville Hotel. But
okay,
they
so
also
I know
have the resort.
Yeah. They have the resort where you can buy condos and little homes and things like that, and you can live on there and you can hear Margaritaville every single day of your life.
Yeah, and he was such a great guy, and he really played all the way until he couldn't.
Yeah.
He had skin cancer. And what is really bad about my family has had that because we're very pale skin. But you have to have sunscreen. Even that won't really do it because your skin is the biggest organ on and in your body.
That's right.
So you have to protect it. But whatever you do, I mean, all it takes is one little thing.
Yep.
And Yeah, but he played all the way till the end. And if anybody, if you follow our Instagrams or our TikToks or our YouTubes or even our podcasts at the very end, one of our sayings is, until next time, you know, keep on cruising. And we kind of not got that from him, but that's the feeling of it.
Right.
We
always inspiration.
The inspiration. And we do the 5 o'clock somewhere. We love to do that. If we don't do a 5 o'clock somewhere, we always hashtag it. Because why? That's for me. That's what cruising is all about. Look at what we wear. We are.
Yeah, we're honestly, kind of, we are the Jimmy Buffett. Yeah, we're kind of inspirational, you know? of that type of lifestyle.
And that's
like
it.
Laid back,
carefree,
having fun, carefree, get out there and do fun things. And
that's what we are.
We're kicking it, you know? And the Margaritaville songs, the 5 o'clock somewhere songs, all of his songs kind of inspired a lifestyle of just, hey, well, you know,
look at our caricatures.
Yeah, our characters are kind of funny.
Those are full on Jimmy Buffett.
Yeah, they're kind of funny.
Come on. I mean, it's us.
Yeah, it really is kind of like, hey, have a good time. Don't let the life's problems and things like that overtake you. Just, you know, look for the better today, the better tomorrow. And he really gave a lot of brought a lot of brightness and light into people's lives with his concerts and things like that, because so many people are just looking for, hey, I gotta, you know, they're waiting for the weekend. Jimmy Buffett,
he was the weekend.
Yes. These actually weekdays. It was really kind of interesting to read. I read a little bit about his obituary, and I didn't realize this, but Margaritaville came out in 1977.
Yes,
a long time ago.
I have that original record. So, I mean, he was pure country, and then he switched over.
Yeah, exactly. So, he switched over to that, and he's recorded over 20 albums.
Yep.
And
Bubbles was his last one that he did.
And one of the things I was interested that he was obviously a businessman, and you know he had an income from all of his businesses well worth over $4.5 billion.
Oh,
can you believe that?
And he kept on working.
Yeah, and he kept on working till the last day. And I think his personal net worth was over $1 billion. And he, he just enjoyed life tremendously. And his family and friends were surrounding him, his dogs by his side as he passed away. You know, and that's really one of the things in life, is to say that you had, you know, a really good, you weren't alone at that time, you know? And it really is. It's good to hear that he was surrounded by so many people that loved him dearly, and his fans will miss him greatly. And I know there will never be another Jimmy Buffett.
No.
He's definitely
original.
It
will be interesting, because he's done like a lot of country singers he's produced. And it'll be very interesting to see which one pulls up his platform and just keeps it going, because there will be somebody, but it all depends on who. And it's going to be somebody who is incredible, and it's going to be somebody who, you know, like Kenny Chesney, it's going to be somebody like that. But to you, Jimmy Buffett. Because it's always 5 o'clock somewhere.
All right.
Okay.
Disney Cruise Line will welcome their seventh new ship. It's growing to a fleet, and it's going to a fleet soon. The Disney Adventure. It's going to be a 208,000 gross ton ship designed to evoke the spirit of exploration. The Disney Adventure will carry guests on fantastical voyages, blending adventure with the beloved stories of Disney, Pixar, and Marvel. Disney Cruise Line is partnering with the Singapore Tourism Board on collaboration to homeport the Disney Adventure exclusively in Singapore for at least 5 years, starting in 2025. This will be the debut of Disney Cruise Line in the Southeast Asia and Singapore area. And it was chosen because of its strategic location, centrally located hub in Southeast Asia with a strong infrastructure. Singapore is the perfect place for the Disney Adventure to welcome guests from around the world. And Singapore is one of those ports that that is getting more and more recognized. And this is going to be an amazing ship. This was the Global Dream ship, if you remember, that Genting had built and before the pandemic, and was trying to finish it. And Disney bought it like pennies on the dollar. And so
that's what Disney does.
Yep. Was able to buy it, and they're now Disney-fying it, and it'll be coming soon in 2025.
Well, that'll be good. I mean, at least they're getting some more ships out there.
Yep. Seventh ship.
All right. So what else is going on in the world? Crystal Cruises?
Yes.
Well, it looks like they have announced in 2025 the deployment of the Crystal Symphony and Crystal Serenity. Following Crystal's acquisition by the A&K Travel Group in 2022. Crystal was the one that went bankrupt, right?
It went bankrupt, and then it got bought out by this new group.
So that's great. So they are... Does your uncle know about this?
Oh, yeah, he does.
He's already signed up?
I think he is considering.
Okay. Well, it's great. I mean, they're still going to be offering 144 new destinations with itinerary. Consisting of 112 countries and 281 ports.
Yeah,
so they're going. Sounds like this was a restructuring.
Yes,
of a bankruptcy.
Yes.
Yeah, because I was wondering who was. I mean, would it be them? Would it have been a Royal or Carnival, or who bought them up? Because they have so many of these ships.
Right.
Let's see here.
Well, they have two ships.
Well, they have two. Yeah, but yeah. I mean, who would have? It's kind of like, all right, who's going to put that money in? Because they're very...
Right.
The guests that go on board these ships, really, it's more of an adventure.
Yeah. This is a ultra-luxury cruise line.
Right.
So this is and the ships are not the huge mega ships that you see out there. These are ones that handle between 800 to 1,000 people. So it's a big... cruise ship, but it can get into smaller ports,
right?
And do these types of itineraries.
Well, like they say, a lot of the itineraries they do is the once in a lifetime bucket list destination,
right?
And that quote actually comes from them, because that's what they really want to do. They want to be these ships that go into these places that no other ships can go.
Like Southeast Asia?
Well, yeah, Southeast Asia in 2025.
Yep.
The Crystal Symphony will be going there. They'll be exploring the beaches, volcanoes, rainforests, all of these
beaches things. In Cambodia.
Yeah, so
volcanoes in Sumatra.
And see, this is something I know your rainforests
in Brunei.
And I think your uncle will be on this one, the go to Monaco for the F1 race.
Yes.
I could see him doing this.
Well, he did go.
Did he actually do that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
With Crystal, and he flew. I got flown by NetJets.
NetJets. That's so funny.
Yeah. NetJets had a.
So, I mean, these are things that if it's on your bucket list.
Yes.
I really would say everybody try, because the Symphony will end the 2025 in the Middle East. So it is going everywhere. It's going to go to small Egyptian ports, Dubai, you name it. It's going there. It can't go up the River Nile. That you can do another river cruise for that one.
Yep.
But so this is really good. I'm glad to see that they're actually coming back.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
So you ready to head over to our main topic?
Let us go. What is our main topic? We are going to be talking about right now the fine dining and wine from Princess Cruises. Well, that went really quick with that news. It was very short, brief, boom, boom, boom.
Yeah, well, it's just happenings.
It is. And really,
what's happening out there?
And I'm glad we're getting back to not saying, oh my gosh, a ship is coming back from COVID. All the ships are back. And now it's just saying, hey, look, Disney bought a ship and they're putting it in the water. I mean, so this is really good. This is really good. Okay, so I was on the Royal, the first of the
Royal
class,
Princess,
the Royal class ships, and you were on the Discovery of the last of the Royal class ships.
Yes.
And what I love about both ships. They're both the same class, but the Discovery, it, actually, you know, it's kind of funny, is a little bit bigger. But the layouts are different, where the Royal, it's spread out everywhere. It's a, it's more, it's not centralized, where the Discovery is more centralized. And so you have these two different ships in the same class, and it's beautiful. You have, I mean, the food offerings from the Discovery to the Royal, a lot of people will say, oh, well, I've been on the Discovery. Why would I want to go on the Royal? Okay. Have you ever heard of Vines? I don't think Vines is on the Discovery. It's on the Royal. You know, so there's things that are not on these ships. If you're on the Royal, you are not going to be able to go to, like, let's see, the Salty Dog. Have you, did you go to the Salty Dog?
Actually, the Salty Dog is the name of the
Gastropub.
Well, the Gastropub, and also the Salty Dog is the quick serve up on the Lido deck.
Okay, so it's not the Trident anymore. It's the,
it's called the Salty Dog, yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, it's different. So they have these different things. It's like on
there's some slight differences between the two.
Right.
I mean, there's a lot of similarity.
Because you don't have the Trident Grill on the Discovery. It's the Salty Dog.
It's the Salty Dog.
And on the Royal, it's the Trident Grill, but now they're offering seafood. So it's different. You have these different offerings. And so that's what we're going to be talking about today. One, I want to just get out there before we start. Free dining is great. There's been a change in the free dining menus, right? There's a restaurant now that is being paid. Is that correct, Tom, on the Discovery and All the Princess?
All the Princess ships, it's, yes.
Which one is that? Gigi's, right?
Gigi's and Alfredo's pizzas, and those are on the Royal Class ships.
Right, right.
So what's happened is that they have a cover charge of $14.99 per person. $14.99 per person, and that includes a soup, an entree, and a dessert. Okay.
Now, is that per day?
Per person.
If you want to go in, $14.99 a shot.
No, it's $14.99 per seating.
Per seating. Yeah, okay.
Exactly. So, or you can order a la carte off the menu. So if you just want to order a pizza, you could just order a pizza. And I think it's like around $8 or $8 to $10, somewhere around there. So you're not like, like pigeonholed in, I have to spend $14.99 to sit down and eat. No, you can order just the soup. You can order just a salad. You can order just a pizza.
Is that
you
can included, order a Kizona. Is it included in any of the packages, or is that just a la carte?
It's included in the Princess Plus package.
Okay, so if you get the Princess Plus, you could go to that restaurant all the time.
You can go there, yeah, once a day, I believe.
Okay, so that's actually pretty good, because I mean, honestly, a lot of people on the boards I've been reading, and they've been saying, oh my gosh, now we have to pay for this. Okay, I'm just going to let you know right now, there's a certain group of individuals who are cruisers who will live in Alfredo's or Gigi's Pizzeria on these ships. And you go in and it's the same people on these tables. They're not ordering anything. So I'm actually kind of liking this. Get the Plus package. Go once, and you're going to be able to get a sitting. I went on the Royal, and these people would sit down and they would stay forever, and nobody else could go in. They were playing, you know, card games and things like that. So this is really good. I do think it's a step up for Princess Cruises to do this. If you want the free food, go up to the buffet, and they're very good. I don't know. I mean, the buffets are great.
Yeah, the buffets are wonderful. We enjoy the Fresh Market experience, And I think that the food is absolutely wonderful. Also, slice pizza is awesome. It's also included.
Exactly.
It's part of your cruise fare, and it's the best pizza at sea.
And also the salty dog and the Trident and, grill yeah, the on grills, the pool.
Exactly, both right. on the Lido deck across from each other.
Yes.
And so you can also find them at also International Cafe.
And that's the best one. Oh, man, that is the best, I believe.
Right.
International Cafe, you could always get those little sandwiches. You could get them heat up. You could have it cold. You could get your coffee there. If you want coffee, I mean, you're going to talk about this too. Because it is about the food, get the package. I mean, honestly, get the Princess Plus package. Get your coffees, your mocha. You get everything there. You get your desserts at the International Cafe. And it's open 24 hours, isn't it?
International Cafe is open 24 hours a day.
Which the pizza place, I think, is only open until
about 11.
11 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And then,
same as Trident's.
So and those two don't open until
around 11 or 10 right. o'clock somewhere around
now
there.
With the grill up by on the Lido deck on the Royal, it was a little bit different. You can't just walk up to the person and say, this is what I want. They actually have somebody standing off now, and they'll have the menu right there, and they ask you what you would like, and then they give them it's on the computer, and they get your food. Is that how it is on the Discovery too now?
They're using the medallion system, and they're just trying to
simplify
and get things moving a little bit faster. Plus, people order things with the app, and they have them. They either hey, you got a notification, they move things, they deliver the food to the people,
right,
and so they're trying to streamline things as much as they can.
And it is streamlining. So if you want some really good food and you want it for free, go up top, order your food, or pay a little bit for Gigi's or Alfredo's. Now.
Yeah. We went there, and I just want to let you know, we went to Gigi's, which is, that's the, sit-down pizzeria on the Discovery Princess, and we had a wonderful meal. And it was a little bit different this time from the standpoint of busyness. We sat down right at lunchtime. There wasn't a lot of people in there.
No, and that's what I'm liking.
And I think what's the reasoning behind it is to kind of like, they're also selling pizza as well for room service. So I think it's also to kind of control a little bit more of that, to be able to sell more pizza to room service, because I believe it's $10 to have a pizza delivered to your room, which is still a great deal.
Yeah.
To have something that's made to order and sent to your room, and you don't have to get up and get it and things like that. And that's wonderful. Also, when everyone has to activate their medallion now and it's $14.99, I believe, as well, $14.95, something like that. But you get a credit on your account to use that for ordering some food or a beverage or whatever like that. So the activation fee does also include.
Oh, so that's something new.
Yeah, that's something new.
Now,
a lot of people don't realize that.
Well, the $14.99 will also go toward gratuity and things like that. Correct.
Yeah, you can use it. Yeah. To do that.
It just goes back to the bill. So when you're listening, people, and you're like, oh my God, they're charging me more. Remember, you're paying for gratuity. If you think you're going to pay for everything before the cruise and I'm going to go sail for free, that's not happening.
Well,
that's not happening.
Let me just say, nobody sails for free.
No.
But that's the bottom line.
No.
And realize that this is a business, just like everything else out there. You're not getting something for nothing. And there is, I feel still that cruising is a value. 100% because of just the type of service you get, the food you get, and the price point is awesome. And that includes the entertainment and also being able to be on a beautiful ship and have wonderful experiences with other people and make new friends and enjoy the location wherever you desired, if it was the Pacific Ocean up to Alaska, or is it down to Mexico, or if it's to Europe, or anywhere you go on a cruise ship, it's still a wonderful value. And I don't feel like these prices are gouging at all whatsoever. And it's wonderful, wonderful experience. So anyway,
okay. So let's talk about other diners. Now, have you, yeah. I know,
oh,
this,
back to dining. I'm sorry.
Oh yeah. Remember, this is all dining. Okay. So one of the restaurants, I know you did not go to it though, but it's on both ships. It's called the Ocean Terrace. And it's a sushi place. It's a seafood bar. And you walk by it all the time in the atrium. And a lot of people don't go. But I'll tell you, the sushi is incredible. You've seen the pictures. We've showed you guys all of these things. They're experts making sushi. It's inexpensive. It's one of those things that you're going to have to try. I mean, they have chilled sake. They have sushi that's including like with unagi, yellowtail, mackerel. They have all of these things. So if you're wanting that sushi seafood flavor, go to that.
What I noticed as I was passing by that the Ocean Terrace is that there were they're preparing everything in front of you,
and it's fresh,
and very so fresh. You can actually see what they're making, and they're making your plate right there,
yes,
in front of you.
Yes.
I think that is something that is totally unique, because from what I see and understand from sushi, a lot of that stuff's done backstage in some area and they're making it.
A lot lot of it is, they have
some restaurants that
do it. Yeah.
Yeah. Some things that, you know, do it like up in front and in front of you. But here you have that type of experience. And I think that's quite special.
And on every cruise ship, I believe like at the, on the Discovery, they have a seafood place where you could actually get clam chowder and things like that. On the Royal, it's at the Titan Grill where they'll have all that seafood there for you. You could just go and get it. And if you're looking for that free thing, if you're sailing 5 or more days, lobster. Ooh, did you know you could only get one lobster, or is it one or two? And then they will actually,
one lobster,
and then they will start charging you more.
I think it's like about
that.
10. If you want another lobster, it's like $10 or $15.
Right. So you can no longer just eat lobster. I mean, I saw this one guy, he had like 7. I was like, how? But yeah, you're right.
Or why?
Yes. So the Ocean Terrace, the food is always fresh. And if you're going to Alaska, this is the one thing that Alaska is famous for. They have like the catch of the day where all their fish, all of their crab, everything that they're serving is from local markets around Alaska. So the salmon is all Alaska. The crab is Alaska. Everything you're getting is from Alaska. So again, if you're going to Alaska, Princess Cruise Lines, and you're going to get that. They even had that excursion. Right? The excursion, I think it's like $100 or $200. You catch your own fish, you could bring it back. And they'll
serve it to you. And I saw that up in Skagway.
Did it. Somebody. So these are things.
And it was in the, they brought to the main dining room.
Yeah. And the presentation, all of that.
Exactly.
So this is something that you can do. Seafood is really, I mean, if you're going to Alaska or any cruise, but Alaska for sure. Wow, incredible. Okay, so what's the next one? Where are we going now for dining?
You know, I like to talk about, you want me to talk about my chef's table experience?
Let's do the chef, because we always talk about the steak. We always talk about steak. We always talk about Sabatini's.
Yeah.
So let's go to the chef table, and then I'm going to talk about the wine experience that I had.
Okay.
The chef's table. Well,
You know what?
You did the 362 though, right?
Yes. And let's pause real quick.
Oh.
All right. Because I want to go get the menu.
Oh, that's okay. Here
Please
we go.
Hold. I forgot the menu. Hi.
Oh, right. We are back. He had to go run and get the menu.
Had to go get the menu.
So I was drinking my beverage.
Excellent day. Excellent day. So we were privileged to go to the chef's table, Luminaire. And the executive chef, David Menembo, served us that night. And this was a small group of people. We had eight guests. Eight people were at our table, including us. And it started off over at Crooner's Bar. And they came to introduce themselves. The director of restaurant operations came over and introduced the chef. And they start off what's going to happen tonight. And they began to bring out the hors d'oeuvres. And we began to eat and drink. And the hors d'oeuvres included a goat cheese with on this boat of I would say it's like a little boat of bread, and had tomatoes on it, and it was just really creamy and delicious. And then they brought out this duck pate with a coated in a strawberry compote, and that was absolutely amazing because I love duck. And it was just the combination of strawberry and this duck pate. It was like a little it's like a little bit of a strawberry on a little plate. And it was really delicious. And then crispy rice chips with sliced Italian speck and with spicy sausage. And it looked like a iceberg. They made it the rice chip was clear, right? And it looked like an iceberg. You were looking. It was kind of really quite unique. And so then they served us champagne and an April spritz. Is that how you say?
Mm, yep.
Okay. Good. And we toasted to the evening and began the adventure. So they said, okay, well, we're now going to go through the galley, and we're going to show you what's going on. And we came into the galley, and everyone's dressed up to the nines for this event, which is really kind of cool. So they came in the galley, and the waiters and the cooks all clapped for us and said, welcome, clap. And it was really kind of fun, and they were just showing us different areas and places and things like that in the galley. And it was just quite a unique experience to see something up close and personal. And you know what? It was really kind of nice because usually on those galley tours, you're going with like 1,000 people, you know, through it. And there was just us, you know, and we could stop and ask questions. What are you making tonight? Are you part of this thing? And oh yeah, we're making this for you. This blah, 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 blah. So that was really kind of nice. And then we went into the Ketchikan dining room, and they take us to the into this area in the middle of the dining room that's close to the back of the ship, and it's a round table of oak, right? This oak table, beautiful oak table with this beautiful glass work in the center of it and everything like that. And they said, well, we're going to have you take pictures with everyone. So they took our pictures individually and they took pictures as a group. And then they had us all sit down in our places, and they pushed a button, and then the starlight curtain came and enveloped us all around this table, and all these lights came down. And I found out later, this curtain and this whole experience, this space, cost Princess over $1 million to build. $1 million.
Okay. I beat you. Royals was $2 million. We'll go after that though.
Oh, you'll have to
tell you after this one.
Okay. So, are you lying to me? I don't think you tell me the truth, bro.
It was a chandelier, and it's in the middle of there.
Yeah, there's a chandelier too. Yeah,
it was $2 million.
Oh, I have to ask. I have to ask for the receipts on this one.
Oh, but I mean, right when I saw that, my wife was like, your sister was like, say what?
Yeah, I know. We were both going like,
it was like, yeah. It was like, yeah, this is, I mean, you got to remember the Royal was one of the first, so it's still there. So, I mean, yeah, I could see the Discovery being a million, you know, because they're streamlining it. But when it was done with the Royal, yeah, that little section, but we didn't have the thing going around. They didn't press a button.
They press a button. It is really kind of fun. So anyway, they said, you know, they brought us out more champagne, right? And oh my gosh.
Please tell me you did not put like cucumbers on your eyeballs because
no, I champagne. Didn't do. Okay, no,
good,
I
good,
didn't.
Good, good.
No, no. All right. So the first the champagne, and we toasted again for now. We're at the chef's table, and now we're toasting again. So we're toasting again. We're drinking more champagne. There's four glasses in front of us, and my wife says they're going to be filled with alcohol, aren't they? And I go,
every single one of them.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it turns out only one of them was water. So, but that was all right. But so the first item was this the salmon, little salmon piece, and it was on a like this dill spring and rice cake, and it had a fish. It was a very small slice of salmon, right? And then they put on top of it this fish bone, and it's like you can see it on my Instagram thing, and it's a fish bone, and it's made out of like a little bread, you know, and it was really kind of cute and very delicious, and we really enjoyed that. And then it also had caviar on it as well, which was very delicious. Very delicious. And I've never had caviar. Have you had caviar?
Many, many, many times. Caviar is so good. It's very salty.
Yes.
But it all depends. Caviar, when you ever hear this, oh, you have to get the Russian caviar, it's very true. It's very salty, and it's the texture of the eggs. And there is a difference from the regions where the fish have come from. So yes, caviar is very, right. very good.
Right.
And you have to have it like with a crisp wine.
Right.
Okay. Never mind. Keep on going.
right. So when they served that, that with a
cracker. Was it like on a,
no,
like a
no,
toasted?
No, it's on like on this, I believe a rice cake, like a rice. Okay. Oh, not like a rice cake. It was like a piece of, I want to say, rice chip.
Yes. Because it's chip. The saltiness.
Right. Exactly. So they served it with a Silverado Sauvignon Blanc, so a white wine, which was very delicious. And then the next dish that was served was foie gras, and that came with caramelized apple and a demi-glace, and that was very good. Very, very good. I usually don't eat foie gras.
I had to try it.
But I've had it once before, and I believe I've enjoyed this one much better because I enjoyed the sauce that they put over the foie gras and the caramelized apple. So it was very delicious. And then the next dish that we had was a soup, and it was a seafood bisque with brandy cream. And this was a lobster bisque, and it came with oyster Rockefeller, black mussels, and with the Himalayan salt and pink peppercorn. Excuse me. Well, peppercorn.
Okay.
And so this soup was absolutely wonderful. And I found out later that the chef spends and his team spend about 14 hours making this soup and letting it simmer and cook and become a very thick, beautiful, succulent a soup. It was just wonderful. And again, my wife and I, we're not big seafood eaters, but we wanted to enjoy this and wanted to try different things. And it was very good. Very, very good. Really enjoyed it. It was, well, I would have it again. I would pick it up. Somebody would say, hey, you're going to have lobster soup. I would go for this. Absolutely. And it came with mussels and oyster Rockefeller. Now, I'll be honest with you. I had one bite of the oysters and I ate black mussel and I ate it. I didn't.
But see, you're not a seafood eater.
Right.
I'm not a seafood person.
I did not say I did not enjoy it, but I don't think I would try it again. And it was just not the flavors, the textures were not for me. So, but I can understand other people who enjoy it.
It's the texture is more of a rubbery, slimy. It really is. And what I love about it is that you just take one bite or you put it in your mouth and you can taste it and it just goes straight down your throat. So it's one of those things that you like or you don't like. It's kind of like caviar. It's kind of like risotto with truffle.
Right.
Truffle risotto. Things like that. You have to have a taste for it, and it's always good. Like, you're trying these things for the first time, and this is great because I've never heard you eat seafood. Yeah. Well, this is good.
I eat lobster and I eat.
But this is a great way to experience it through the chef's table because they're explaining what these things are.
Exactly.
They're not just telling you, oh, caviar is little fish balls.
Exactly. Okay. Right, and they're telling us stories about everything like that. Yep. So the next one was a palate cleanser, and they bring out lemon sorbet, and then they start pouring champagne over it. How can you say no to that?
You can't.
I loved it. I ate every bite of that. I thought it was wonderful. And then the main entree that night was the roasted salmon fillet, which my friend Michelle had. She loved it. She said it was cooked perfectly. It was wonderful. And it came with rainbow cauliflower as well, and she enjoyed it. And the other entree, which my wife and I had, was the veal Oscar, and that came with crab meat, again, with more caviar on that, and it had this béarnaise sauce on it. And I'll tell you this. I've had veal before, like veal parmesan, things like that before. I've never had a veal fillet made like this and presented like this with the béarnaise sauce, and you could cut it with a fork. It was that tender, and it was like, it was velvetly smooth. I mean, it was so delicious, and we just loved it. We thought it was one of the best meals, best entrees we've ever had in a very long time. Very delicious. And then finally, the last presentation was this lemon mousse. Oh, by the way, they gave us Pinot Noir with Pinot Noir from Santa Barbara. And then our last item that we had was dessert, and it was a lemon mousse, and it was on almond shortbread and puff rice and basil leaf. And this looked like an actual lemon. You saw the pictures on there.
Oh, yes.
And you had you tapped it with your fork, and you opened it up, and it was just this mousse inside the lemon.
It was love.
It was love. And then they presented a plate of chocolates in front of you, chocolate candies and things like that. And one of the candies was topped with 24 karat gold.
Did you eat it?
Absolutely.
So you're worth more now?
I'm worth more now. I don't know. Maybe my colon is worth more than.
Hopefully it's stuck.
Hopefully it's there. Yeah, they're going to find it in my next colon. Awesome.
That's right.
That's right.
Is that a stone? Hey, is that a stone? It must be gold.
No. So they kept, and then they brought out a dessert wine, which they didn't put on the menu. But I mean, they kept filling up our.
Was it an orange or a Harvest Riesling? What was it?
Oh,
you remember what
it was a clear dessert wine. It was a Riesling.
Riesling.
You see, that's why I need you here. So these are the wines.
Let's see what wines he had.
So yeah,
these are the wines that are offered at the chef's table. So Oh, okay. So you had a Brut for France. Okay. Now, you know what's interesting is champagne. Do you know why it's called champagne?
Because it's made in France.
In champagne. But what's sad is now the French are starting to pay the vineyards to pull up these vines. So I think it's going to be changing because California has some of the driest areas too, just like France,
right?
Like out in Temecula and those regions, and they come up with these nice, crisp white wines that are very good, and they can't call them champagne.
That's right.
It's not. But
they call them sparkling wines.
Sparkling wines.
Am I correct?
Yes. But what's interesting are some of these vines that are from France. They're pulling them up and they're bringing them here. And they're splitting them, creating hybrids. So the grapes that they're from France are now being grown here. So these are things that the regions are growing. I mean, then you had the Sauvignon Blanc. Oh, perfect Sauvignon Blanc with your fish, and it's from Napa.
Yeah, they have that with also the veal.
And then you had the Pinot Noir, which is a very dry wine. Mm-hmm. So that is very good actually for fish, for beef, for anything that's beef, anything really. It's not a really harsh like a Cabernet or a Cab Franc or a Merlot or anything like that. It's more of a softer wine. And it will bring out a lot of the flavors of all of these foods. So you had a really good thing here, and you had the goat cheese and heirloom tomatoes, and that
was in the hors d'oeuvres.
So I mean, these things with these wines, they did it perfectly.
Yeah, it was wonderful. I mean, it was so wonderful, and the chef was very friendly, and you know, do you have any questions? Would you like more information about this? And he was a very good storyteller, very, very interesting. And so, you know, you don't go into these things, I'm just here to eat food. No, you're here to hear the stories behind
it. Right.
And you're here to, you know, what they went through to make this food, because this is an experience where you're taking on a culinary journey. As I said on my Instagram feed, you're taking on a journey and a journey of flavors, different tastes, and you're taken to a place where you may not necessarily enjoy these types of food all the time, but this is a place where you can explore your palate.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you can try different things. And my wife and I really enjoyed the experience and would love to do this again. And I highly recommend it. It's not that expensive.
No, you should do.
Yeah,
everybody should try around
100. I believe it's around between $95 and $125,
yes,
somewhere
yes,
around there.
Yes,
about that price. But it includes the wine pairings along with it. And I'll just tell you, I don't think yet you could have this type of experience in a regular restaurant with the wines. For under $300 a person.
No.
You know,
no.
Somewhere in Los Angeles, and probably outside of Los Angeles, maybe $200 a person. But this was a very, very fine experience.
And you guys were able to go backstage.
So yeah.
You were
right.
We're going to start going into the winemaker's one. Now, were you able to go down to the bottom of the ship and see where the crew was?
This was only through the galley.
Okay.
And everything.
We were very lucky with the Royal. We did the galley, but they said, would you like to see everything else? I'm like, yes, please. So they actually took us through where they have where they store the meat, where they store the fish, and it's separate, where they store the vegetables. So we have pictures and videos, and I guess I'll put that together. Once this podcast goes out, you'll be able to see it on our TikTok and Instagram, so you could actually see these things. But it's really interesting to find out where they store everything and how they break everything down, where they have the recycling, where they what they do with their water. Everything has a purpose on a ship, and nothing is thrown away. Really, if they could recycle it, they recycle it. And I think that's the reason why, like Alfredo's and Gigi's, they're starting to charge. They don't want to throw away all this food. And so, I mean, these are the things I think that when you go and you experience the chef's table or experience the winemakers, you get to go backstage and you get to see everything. You get to see if you're Jewish and you need it to be kosher, they have a kosher station. If you're a vegetarian, they have a vegetarian station. Everything you can have, they have a station. And what I loved was on the Royal, and I'm sure on this one too, they have a table. And before, we showed this on the Instagram where they put the food out and all the waiters could come and taste the food. And I love that because then you know they know what's cooking. If you haven't seen it, again, right. Instagram, check it out. But the chef will do that at the very beginning of each meal. Now I know why those chefs look so hardy because they're actually trying every single dish. It reminded me of Hell's Kitchen. I mean,
right.
He comes in and they're standing there and they're like, he takes a bite. And if he pushes it to the side, he goes, that's all he has to say. And it goes away. And by the time he gets through everything, it comes back and he tastes it and he says, now it's ready. So, I mean, it's really something that if you're really thinking, oh, they just want to serve it and it's kind of cafeteria food.
No.
It's not.
No, no. The dining, the galleys work 24 hours a day.
Yes, they do. Yes. Yes. And if you don't think so, we have the video and we're going to show you. Okay, so can we get to the winemaker now?
Go ahead.
Okay.
And then I'll talk about 360 briefly after that.
Okay, so the winemaker, Vines is the wine bar, and the Royal has that. Well, we all meet at Vines, and what I loved about it is everybody's at Vines, and you start with champagne and hors d'oeuvres. But let's get back, let's give you a little history of the winemaker's dinner, because it is brand new. All right, April 3rd, 2023, Camus Vineyards and Cabernet Sauvignon are like that's what it is. Cabernets are so good. These wines, everybody knows who they are and how good they are. Well, they teamed up with Princess Cruise Lines and they are offering now for $140. It's the new winemaker dinner, and it is a little bit more than the chef's table, but there's a reason for it. This dinner that they are doing, they are pairing wines with each individual entree, dessert, appetizer, and the way they do it is incredible. So Tom's, we started at the Vines and we had just some cheese, shaved Parmesan, orange zest, balsamic balls. They were just so good, but you had it with champagne. And then we had a marinated oyster mushrooms and it was to die for. And they paired that with a champagne, also with a reserve Chardonnay. Because a Chardonnay has more of an oaky flavor and it has that deep, rich boldness to it. It brought out the cheese. And when we had it with the oyster mushrooms, it was incredible. Incredible. It was just, it was to die for. We go to our room setting. I didn't have a clock. I didn't have the thing that goes around us.
You mean the starlight
curtain? No, everybody was watching us. But what we did is we walked into the center of the dining area, mm-hmm. and we had just wine bottles covering all the way around us. So that was really nice. And they had a chandelier there that was $2 million more than Discovery. Just want to let you know that right now. So he's going to be checking
the receipts on that.
So when we sit down, we had another hors d'oeuvre and some more Chardonnay.
And of course.
Of course. Of course. So I'm going to go pretty fast because we're already hitting 1 hour. Our first course, they brought out a black truffle risotto. And what I loved about this risotto is what we were talking about before. Tom had you didn't have escargot. You had, what did you have? Caviar. And it's a very salty caviar. So that would be great with a big red wine. And so they came and they gave us, it was called the Walking Fool, and it was a red blend from California. And it was so good with this risotto because it brought up the flavors of everything that you were having.
So can you just explain the reason why chefs prepare or pair wine with the dish?
Yes.
Briefly.
Okay. So why they do that? It's more for the taste and the flavor. For instance, if we're talking about the risotto and the Parmesan cheese that was aged for 38 months. It has a very, a flavor of, because
it says smokiness, right?
Smokiness, but that truffle is very strong, that smoky truffle type, and it's very salty.
So it accentuates.
Right. What it does is the red wine will accentuate the taste of it, but also it will bring down the taste. So
it's not like it's not going to choke you.
No,
but rather it's going to smooth the combination. So you take a bite and then you take a sip.
Right. Just a
correct?
Sip.
Yes. You're not supposed to drink. You're not supposed to.
Well, there was somebody there and he was just pounding. He didn't like the risotto, so he just kept on drinking wine. It was really bad. But
you're supposed to allow it to your mouth to savor it.
Right.
But the bite.
Right.
And to sip and then again to continue to bite and chew.
Right.
While you're adding your mouth is adding and
the wine
into the
right.
flavors. And so, and then as you swallow, the back of your nose catches the smell again, right?
Well, it's more the back of your throat catches
right. The back of your
smell. They will teach you at the winemakers, they will actually show you when you pour a wine, and you've seen me do this, you slosh a wine around in a cup
right.
and it's more of an oval shape with a smaller top. The reason for that is you're breaking up the wine itself.
Right.
For a layman's term, you're breaking up the wine and you're releasing the flavors inside of it. All
right.
wine has tannins, all wine has those things.
Right.
But when you spin it, it releases those flavors and those scents. And that's why when you see people, you only need very small, a little bit of wine in a glass and you could spin it and you smell it and you could smell the oakiness, or you could smell cherries or the chocolate or anything in there. And with that, then you pair your meals with it.
Got it.
So
good explanation.
Right. And so
thank you for that.
No, that is no problem. Because see, this is what the winemaker's dinner is all about, is they train you to be basically a winemaker, wine connoisseur. And what's very interesting is, I've been making wine for like 8 or 9 years. And so when I got there, the person who was doing it, they asked me, they're like, oh, so have you done this before? And I told them, oh, 8 or 9 years I've been doing it. So I was actually helping people understand how to make a wine breathe, how to do these things, you know, because a wine is only as good as it's made and stored. And a lot of people don't understand that. Like if you buy a wine and it has a turn top on it, you better drink it fast. There's a reason why it has oak on it. It's because it pulls the flavor out. Okay, so let's go to the main course. The main course was, you would love this, prime beef tenderloin.
I like that.
It was a prime beef tenderloin. And because prime beef is what? Is it a big bit? Is it like a tasty meat?
Oh, it's prime beef is the best beef you can buy next to Wagyu.
Wagyu?
Wagyu.
Wagyu.
Sorry.
It sounds like a cartoon, Wagyu. Wagyu beef.
I know it does. Wagyu.
Okay, so you would want a big wine with that. They had the Camus Napa Valley, because Napa Valley is a very good zone for wines. Cab Sauvignon Blanc, a Cab Sauvignon. I was going to say, you know, a Cab Franc, but they didn't have those. And the Cabernet is a bold wine. It's a big wine. Okay. And so when you had this meat and you tasted the wine, this time it enhanced the wine instead of the meat. So you have these different flavors going back and forth. And then they were also serving the king salmon with a giant prawn that looked more like a lobster. I mean, it was huge. I was like, wow. And see, with that, there you go with, remember the fish you had a Pinot. It wasn't a white. It was more of a soft, dry wine.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what this one was the Pinot. And all that did was really, you tasted the fish, but that's it. You tasted the fish. It just helped cleanse your palate. And so that was really nice. And then for the cheeses, they had every cheese possible. And what I loved about the cheeses is you were able to maybe grab another glass of every wine and you try a cheese with each wine. So if it's a Cabernet, try the cheddar. You try the Dutch, you try all of these cheeses, and you have a different flavor because of the wine. So that was really interesting.
Do you have a favorite?
With the wine?
Oh, yes.
Oh, it was the I'll tell you right now, the Walking Fool. It was a red blend. And a lot of times, what they didn't explain, I explained to them, because a lot of people were saying, oh, but what's the difference? Okay, a Cabernet, it's called a Cabernet. The only reason it's called a Cabernet, it has to be 85% Cabernet, 15% another wine. If it's above the 15%, it's considered a blend. So the blend was a blend of three wines. I believe it was a Pinot, a Cab, and another red. So that would be considered a blend. It can't be called a Merlot or a Cab Franc or anything like that. It has to be called a blend. Now, the dessert, this is where it really got really good. They had a chocolate raspberry dream with dark chocolate mousse with a raspberry dark chocolate cream on top.
Raspberry on chocolate is awesome.
It is. And this is where you come up with, we were talking about the champagne.
Mm-hmm.
They can't call it a champagne, so they
call it sparkling wine.
Sparkling wine.
Yeah.
But if it was really interesting is if you taste it, then you taste the champagne, guess what?
Mm.
It tastes the same. The wine that we were drinking went head to head with wines from France.
Mm.
Guess who won?
The California wine.
California wines. They won. So if you're thinking, well, we need a French wine, no, you don't have to look
further. We have wonderful wines here out of California.
California, that you can, Mexico, you know, anywhere.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I learned as well. And that's pretty cool to know.
And what's great about this, though, is with the winemaker's dinner, they pair everything for you and they'll teach you. They'll give you a piece of paper. You could write it down. And then I was saying in the group, I said, you know, you could go back then to the dining room,
mm-hmm.
get your food room. Mm-hmm. And say, okay, what am I going to have? And you could be the one pairing with everything. So we're going to have a fish today. All right, let's get the Sauvignon Blanc or Pinot Noir.
Yeah.
If we're getting a red meat, get a Cabernet or a Merlot.
Right.
We're having cheese. Okay, let's get a sparkling wine with that. And you could actually make your own pairings just for the cost of wine.
Right.
So this is only offered on certain ships, just like Tom's going to say, there's another dining excursion everybody has to try or get invited to.
Right.
But these are only on certain ships. So if you can get to on board and get to the chef's table or the winemaker's dinner.
Right.
I would really try it. If you've ever done the chef's table and you're like, well, the winemaker's dinner is the same thing. It's not. It's not the same thing. It will blow your taste buds away. And talking about blowing your taste buds away, there's chef table, there's the winemaker, and on top of the winemaker is
the 360 experience.
And how about that one?
Oh my gosh.
Without giving all the secrets.
Yeah, I can't give away the secrets. They made us take a pledge, and but I will talk in generalities about this. So the 360 experience is where you're in a small room with 20 guests. It's 20 guests total. And you're in a room that has is a immersive, multi-sensory experience.
Now, I have to ask, is there any windows or is it completely dark?
No, there's no windows.
Okay, okay.
So you, and then the presentation is, there's projection technology
okay.
being used. There's video being used.
So it's not blindfolded.
No.
So if I'm claustrophobic, this is something that we
right,
can do.
Right. There's
okay.
And they incorporate your photos into the experience.
Okay.
And your name but you're taking on this again this culinary journey with Brooke Shields, and you're going to four different countries, and you're experiencing the food and the flavors and the wines from those areas. And I don't want to give away too much. I probably gave away quite a bit.
Well, when you said Brooks, yes.
But yeah. But I want to say that this was such a special experience. And I wanted, a princess had invited myself and our guest, Tom and Michelle, and my wife and I, to this experience. And we were over the moon on this because we've heard so much about it. And we knew that there were some secrets and there's some things, and we're not going to tell you what they are. But I'm just telling you, the excitement of the experience allowed us, it made us more excited about trying new things. And we tried different flavors and different foods that we would never try in our life. And I'll tell you off the show one of the things that I tried.
Is it just pairing with wine, or
it's mostly pairing with wine and champagnes
and
things like that. And so they're constantly bringing you out new things to
it's constantly drink. Flavoring
flavors and things like that, and there's storytelling involved, and there's little things that happen on your table, and I don't want to tell you
How long is this experience?
This is about a 2.5 hour experience.
So this is a dining experience.
This is an experience I've never had before, but it was so enjoyable. And the servers, you had your own personal server throughout the experience, and they were just so happy, and they were precision in the way they present everything, and how they present the drinks and everything, and changing your utensils around and your plates and how they're delivered to you, and just so precision and so it had a style to it. Everything had a style to it, and the storytelling was really cool. And
you just can't say anything. You keep on going on and on with the same stuff. You can't.
And there's music involved. There's smells involved.
Okay, so what you're saying is you all need to try this if you're invited.
If you're invited,
don't say no.
You gotta go.
Don't
say no to 360.
Okay.
I would just say that right now, it's by invitation only. Usually sweet guests and many sweet guests are invited. It just depends on how. I believe that they do this twice a night. This amazing experience twice a night. And it is so wonderful and so much fun. It'll bring a smile to your face. It'll fill your stomach up and you'll go, oh my gosh, I never thought they could do that. I didn't know that they brought wine from there. It just blew me away about everything. And, you know, there were things that I had that I've never had before. And because the way they presented it and told the story behind it, how could I say no? Eating it.
Okay. Right? So basically, what I'm taking away from this, guys, is this is like one of those TV shows where you go and you're trying things you've never had before from countries and food. And you might have an ant and they'll pair it with a wine. But you know what? That ant will be so crispy and good.
You're not going to say no to anything in front of you because it's all about the experience, and that's what we're talking about here.
Exactly.
The
experiences that you can have with the food from Princess, from the Crown Grill, from Sabatini's, all the way up to 360.
Yeah. And I would just say this much, Princess, you've done an extraordinary, phenomenal job. This was a phenomenal experience. And like I said, if you get invited, don't say no. Go to 360.
And if you don't get invited, do the winemaker's dinner.
Do the chef's table. Do one of those things.
Yes.
Expand your culinary palate. Your palate and try these things because you know what? Life is short.
Yeah. I mean,
you got to try the winemaker's dinner
and then go to the Crown Grill.
I want to try this wine.
Yeah. It's incredible because you could go to the winemaker's dinner, then go to Crown Grill the next night and look like one of those people who just knows what to do. Yeah,
I know what to do.
I would need some, I need some walking fool for that red. What I just know.
I think that's what I'm going to call you now. The walking.
The blend was beautiful. So
We might have to get a bottle of that and try it.
Walking fool.
Do it on the podcast.
Oh yeah.
The walking fool show.
No, we'd be walking. Let me tell you.
Stumbling fools.
Yeah. My wine, when I make it, is 15%. This thing was at 15%. It was so smooth. There was a guy there who just kept on. Can you bring me another bottle, please? And by the time at the end of the winemaker, and his brother-in-law was sitting right next to him. I've never seen somebody so disgusted. Like, seriously, give me the bottle.
Let me tell you one funny thing about the Starlight curtain that goes around. So we were sitting.
Somebody poked their head in.
It's funny. So we were sitting there, and we've been there for 3 hours. At the chef's table. And people have gone and left and new people have come in because they have different seating times, right? So we're enclosed in this curtain and nobody knows we're back there because it opens and people are going, you hear this, ooh, ah, what? What's going on?
No, they're waiting for you to sing.
I'm like, leaning over to my friend and people are looking at me. I go, no pictures, please. No pictures, please.
Oh, geez.
No photos, please. No photos. No, it was fun. It was fun. It was a wonderful experience.
Well, how long was this show?
This show was 1 hour and 20 minutes.
All right.
So guys, let me tell you, we had a wonderful time on these culinary experiences on the Discovery Princess.
And on the Royal Princess.
And I hope that this excited you to try different things.
And also to try different things. You don't have to, you're like, I just went on this, the Discovery. It's the same class as the Royal. It's a different ship, completely different ship. You have to try different ships out there. Don't keep on going on the same one because then you're going to think, okay, all the ships are like this. They're not.
No,
they're all different.
They all have different. There's some familiarities. There's similarities,
right?
But there are some uniqueness.
Yes,
on each one.
And hey, just remember, if we're starting to wind down, I'm going to be on the Royal Caribbean Navigator of the Seas, September 22nd. We start our cruise season again. Now we're going in the fall, but we are starting it again. So hopefully you guys are going to be joining us for more of our cruises. Wow. Are we ready to go? I just can't wait. I mean, we finished Alaska, and now we're going to be starting anew. You went to Norway. You went to Alaska. I went to Alaska. I went to Mexico. Going back to Mexico. Going to Australia. Going down to the Mayan ruins. We're going everywhere. We're going on between now and next June, 10 different ships. That's incredible. I'm still trying to get Tom to go on Holland America. I will do that.
I got April booked for the Discovery Princess.
Oh yes, we're going to do a special one in April. He's going to be on the Discovery. I'm going to be on the Panorama. We're going to be doing side by side of the eclipse. That's going to be an incredible podcast doing that. We have so much in store for you. I want to just dedicate this to Jimmy Buffett, because if it wasn't for Jimmy Buffett, I wouldn't be married and I wouldn't have the cool clothes that I have today.
That's right.
Until next time, everyone, I'm Scott.
And I'm Tommy.
Keep on cruising.
Have a good one.